Carrie and Tommy about to go off.
The Carrie and Tommy podcast begins in just seconds. Powered by Alinta Energy. Alinta Energy is honest about how we get to net zero. Find out at alintaenergy.com.au. True power. Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Yes, welcome to it for your Thursday afternoon. Are we ready, guys, to hear the rest of the roasting?
Ooh. I cannot wait. I've had so many people DM me and tell me, friends and family, how good the roast was the other night.
Yes.
And all of them saying how good a sport you were. There was not one moment where any of them said they watched your little face to take a look of sadness, or I don't know whether you were just covering it, or offence or anything.
What do you mean? It was heaven.
But not for everyone. A roast wouldn't normally be heaven for other people.
Yeah, but they've got to get over it. It's funny.
But you've been upset on this show for a lot less.
But that's because you have that face when you do it.
And turn of laugh.
We are playing the rest of the roast today on the show, including your right of reply. And also we're going to hear the roast of cricketing great Adam Gilchrist, which I can't wait. He was awesome. Do you want to, can I give you a little funny mum thing that I saw on the internet? Just
you
start
know,
the show.
Carrie, you know what I love, and it's funny mum things.
Yeah, so okay. So I saw a meme, I think it's a meme, going around where it's a whole lot of stuff placed at the bottom of a set of stairs, and it says, nobody is more full
of God, are you stealing shout out to Romani's content?
Yeah, and I DM'd her.
Oh,
it's not, sorry, that's not the only place I saw it.
Hang on,
nobody, let me do it.
This is Romani's post.
No, she shared it from somebody else as well.
The Jay Shetty of Australia is here.
Nobody is more full of false hope than a mum who places stuff at the bottom of her stairs for her people to carry up.
Shout out to Romani for that piece
guys
of content.
Get that because you're not a mum. But mums just leave stuff at the bottom of the stairs, hoping at some point a kid will go, I should carry that upstairs. But they never do. And then you end up with a handful of
big shout outs to all the mums with multi-story houses.
Oh, my God. It's
a,
just a
face.
Anyway,
rich mums
it was Romani's joke. Anyway, I don't like it.
Carrie and Tommy.
It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
We've had a bad time to have a debate off air of whether peanut butter and banana tastes like nature's Nutella,
which is what I said. But it doesn't taste like Nutella.
But nature's Nutella.
I don't know what that means.
It just means like not as good. You know when stuff's natural.
Like a healthy
it's natural. Yeah, you know when stuff's natural is not as good?
Anyway.
Don't you
my
reckon?
Mouth is now. It's yum. Yep.
Hey, Bickers, I wasn't going to talk about this, but you just mentioned stairs before. With
mums who place stuff at the bottom of their stairs hoping that a child will at some point take it up. And they never do, lol.
And it made me remember about a woman that I met this morning because I was sitting at a cafe with my friend and her dog was tied around one of the chairs. And we came out and the dog looked so scared and then she came out and I said, oh, is your dog scared? And she said, oh, no, she's okay. She's just old. I said, how old? And she goes, 15.
Wow.
And I said, oh, she's looking great. And she goes, yeah, but, you know, she's just started to struggle because my place has 55 stairs, so she's just started to struggle with that. And then she walked off and ordered her coffee. And I said to my mate, I'm like, who counts their stairs?
How do you know? Like, nobody.
But then
you've just got a set
also,
of stairs, don't goes, you, if you've got stairs at all. Well, you don't then, say, I've got the number of stairs.
But then she said, so, not, oh, you know, we've got 55 stairs, so he struggles. And then my friend said, how many levels is that? And I said, I don't know. Let's ask. Oh, Liza, our producer, she has 17 stairs.
Oh, is that one set of stairs, Liza? How many stairs is one set of stairs?
Just one set. So 17 stairs upstairs.
And is that considered a long set of stairs?
Yeah, for me, because I walk up with our 18-month-old, so it takes a while.
Yes. And so 55 would be a night. That would be a day job, Lizzie.
But then that's like three sets.
So this is what when we thought we'll ask her when she gets back. And she got back and I said, sorry, I'm just curious, because you said you have 55 stairs. And she goes, yes. Very proud. Yes, yes, we do. We've done quite well. And I said, how many stories did you buy them one at a time? And I said, how many stories is that? And she goes, it's 4 stories. And I said, is it? And she goes, well, 3 in a cellar. And I said, sorry? And she goes, 3 and then a cellar. I thought, well, that's not 4 stories. You can't claim 4 stories if one of your stories is just a cellar.
Is there anything
if you go,
with the cellar?
What's on the fourth,
is there a room
what's on the fourth floor?
Around the cellar, or is it just
the
cellar?
No, it's just the cellar. Well, and also, why is she complaining about her dog's ability to get in and out of the wine cellar? Like, oh, the dog's really struggling to get that bottle of Grange. Fido, none of the cheap stuff down there. God, you're really aging. You can't even bring me up the Hinschke.
What's a Hinschke?
I didn't see how many other wine I could think of. Isn't that a wine?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. What do we do ads for? Grab the Vixen and Villain while you're down there, Fido. I think they're only $13.99 at Hurley Sellers, and if I've got that number wrong, that is my fault, not Hurley Sellers' fault.
What's happening?
I'm just doing some
a bit
of
wine gear.
I think they're only in South Australia, giving them a real specific shout out.
Well, if other fantastic bottle shops want to get on board, this is the type of advertising you could get on national radio.
So, what do you want to know? How many sets of stairs you got?
I want to know what has someone said to you where they think they're being normal, but they're being a real flog about their own life. For example, oh yeah, poor dog struggles. So, because we got 55 stairs. And oh yeah, it's 4 stories. Well, the fourth is just a cellar. I'm like, and that's why I thought, no wonder the dog's terrified. He's got to live with you constantly. Fido, get the Hinschke.
No, he just hides in the cellar not to be with it. That's where he's going. He's going to get away.
Do you reckon?
And it's always going to be a cool room, you know.
Don't. What do you mean?
What?
You're just thinking about what your cellar is. 13, 10, 60. Now I am. Carrie, pop off and get the Hinschke.
It's a whole separate building.
The seller is a man named Steve and he controls the wine collection. 13, 10, 60 is our number. What flog things have they said to you that they thought was just a bit offhand, but you really flog behaviour? Give us a call.
Carrie and Tommy.
Your Thursday, Arvo. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. And on 13, 10, 60, we're talking flog behaviour.
Behaviour of a flog.
You did say you wished you'd asked for something else, though, when we just went to that song.
I just said I was a dummy because I wish I'd asked, do you have more than 55 stairs? Because I just, a lady said today.
13, 10, 60, if you do. He does actually want to hear from people that have more than 55.
Yeah,
he beat himself up about it for that whole 20-minute song. Why didn't I ask for who had more than 55 stairs? I'm such a dummy. And we went on and on and on.
And I ate a banana while I was saying
it. Yeah, it was so weird.
Was
anyway, the reason you said it was because you saw it.
I saw a lady and I said, oh, is your dog skin? She said, no, he's just a bit old. And he's starting to struggle with the stairs. I've got 55 stairs in my house. And then walked off and ordered a coffee. And then she came back and I said, how many stories do you have in your house? And she said, 4. Well, actually, the fourth is a cellar. Flog behaviour. G'day, Sam.
Hi, how are you going?
Yeah, pretty good. Have you got an example of a behaviour of a flog?
Yes. So I had a conversation yesterday and a lady asked me if I was going away for Easter with my 5 kids and I said, oh, no, not this Easter. And she said, oh, well, me and the kids are going to go away. We're just doing a 3-day carnival cruise. And I said, oh, okay, cool. And she said, yeah, I told them that we went to America and Paris the year before.
Oh,
so
no.
I was like, okay, sis.
Oh, I love your attitude so much.
Well, I'm like, no, bub, we're just staying at home.
Yeah. I was saying we've done Paris.
But also, 5 kids, Sam. I'm assuming a holiday is harder work than staying home.
Oh, gotcha. I'm ready to go to the mental home. That's my holiday.
Sam, I mean, would you go to the mental home when you've got Paris as an option? Would you think about that?
Well,
maybe fork out on a nice one over there.
That's
Thanks, Sam. G'day, Sky. We are talking FLOG behaviour. What have you got for us?
So I work in an automotive retail store.
Yes.
I had a gentleman come in last week while I was restocking some items in the aisle. And he said, hi, I'm blah, blah, blah. I said, hi, I'm Sky. And he said to me, do you build hot rods for a living? And I said, no, that's why I'm putting wiper blades on the shelf. And he proceeded to tell me, he goes, well, you should. I've built over 70 and now I own 16 homes. And I said, oh that's great. And then he said, do you have children? I said, yeah, I do. And he goes, oh, yeah, well, you know, these are the ages of mine. My youngest one, she just built her last home. It was $2.2 million.
And I was like, oversharer. Who cares, mate?
And so what did you do after you went on a date with this man who clearly charmed you, Skye?
He wasn't a charmer, I'll put it that way, and he smelt like the tip. So for a man that's quite wealthy, he needs to invest in some better cologne because it was not nice.
I always think, Skye, and tell me if you agree with this, as soon as someone introduces themselves to me and they use their first and last name, I immediately write them off in my head.
Yeah, flog.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, oh, well, someone's got family money. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, my name's Grant Williams. And you're like, who cares, mate? I don't care about your trust fund.
Good on you, Skye. What about Amelia? Amelia, what flog behaviour have you been witness to?
I unfortunately live with the flog.
Yeah. Oh, amazing.
He is adamant that he has an 8-pack. And we'll tell everyone about this 8-pack. I'm pretty sure that it's ribs.
Yeah.
Ribs?
Yeah, like actual ribs atop his 6-pack.
Has he got an any pack?
Pardon?
Has he got any
package? He does have a 6-pack, but he will constantly go on about, well, if you went to the gym like me, you'd have an 8-pack just like me.
I mean, it sounds kind of funny. I'm torn on this.
Amelia, did you say you live with him? I thought our producer said it's your ex, is it? Or is it current?
No, it's my ex.
You're living with him?
Yep. Separate bedrooms. We have kids and trying to keep it all.
Yep. Did you break up with him because you're waiting for a bloke with a 10-pack?
Oh, definitely. No, I'm going for the whole dozen.
Yeah, you got to be careful because when it gets to a slab, it suddenly stops being attractive.
Carrie and Tommy. It'll be Thursday, Arvo. It's Carrie and Tommy. And wouldn't you rather be driving Australia's number one selling vehicle, Ford Ranger? Discover why at your local Ford dealer.
Because heaps still to come. We've got heaps more from Tuesday night's roast action still to come. But I just wanted to bring you this quickly because I knew you'd be fascinated. I've got an update from your favourite social media star, HS Tiki Toki.
From TikTok?
No. HS Tiki Toki.
Who's HS Tiki Toki?
Don't pretend you don't know. He's a big TikTok star.
Oh.
Yes.
His original name.
His $500,000 McLaren has been totaled someone allegedly, but they don't know this, maybe HS Tiki Toki, who was driving, has fled the scene.
Oh.
He was bragging about his new car in the days leading up to the accident.
On Tiki Toki.
On TikTok, thanks. His name is HS Tiki Toki. and then his passenger, General G, he stayed at the scene. He cracked his ribs in the crash. Oh. Look at that. The McLaren absolutely totaled. And so now they're on the hunt for the driver. And HS Tiki Toki has posted and he said he's glad that General G's okay. Glad to hear you're cool, General. Saw what happened. It was crazy. New tune out now. And he's got a new song.
Oh, does he play music?
You don't stop pretending you don't know about HS Tiki Toki. Just an update for everyone who wanted to know what HS Tiki Toki was up to.
Thank you.
I realised pretty quickly that was going nowhere fast. Like his McLaren.
Well done.
Comedian Nate Valvo joins us next. Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy. Across Australia for your drive home this afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
And it is not just us, because Nate Valvo joined us.
Good evening, folks.
You have been a hot topic of conversation.
And I should say, you know, we couldn't do what we're about to do with Nath with a woman. You know, it's like,
What?
We're just playing Who Would You Screw? No, we were talking about you on the project.
Uh-huh. Can I just say, I want to stop you right there. Firstly, just say, do you know how much I love being spoken about in any way?
Yeah, I agree.
Well, we actually argued about you.
Oh, my, this is still even better.
Valvo, people said this to me about the roast. They were like, are you worried? And I'm like, what do you mean? They're talking about me. Who cares? It's wonderful.
Yes. When husband Cody comes home from dinner with friends, when I say, how was dinner? What I really mean was, what did you say about me and who asked about me?
Yes. Well, we were talking about you because you appeared on the project and you were talking about how you'd turned 40. And I was saying to Carrie, I don't know if you should mention that you've turned 40 because I wouldn't have known otherwise. And now all I was doing was looking at you thinking, does he look 40 or not?
This is my favourite chat. My favourite game is to talk about how old do people look. It is so much fun, and even funner to do when they're not around.
So here's what we were discussing then, because I said that no way, like he looks so much younger than 40, and then we started having a conversation about whether you did in fact look your age or not. And then we got into talking about the fact that perhaps it's your clothes that make you look younger. Yes. And I said I thought here it was your forehead. I thought it was the forehead. So we had
to... And I may have said, Bubba, I may have said, I think his face looks 40, but he dresses like a little boy.
And then to add to that, I may have also said to Tommy, he looks younger than you do, which didn't go down very well.
Yes. Can I just say, I don't remember saying yes to the roast of Nath Valvo, one. So I'm not sure how this has kicked off. Secondly, I will say, at the Comedy Festival Gala, big gig the other last week,
yes.
Backstage, Carrie, I was wearing a lovely jumper, I thought. And Tommy Little walked into the change room and said, did you steal that from a 13-year-old boy?
What was it? Do you have a picture of it?
It was very colourful and bright. And it went. It just went.
You're such a straight boy. You're so straight.
As soon as something's not
black or white, exactly. Guys are like, oh, you're so colourful. It's blue, Tommy.
I understand, but I did get told a rule in comedy very early on, and I do stand by it, which is your clothes should never be more interesting than you.
Well, let me just say this: as we continue with the roast of Nath Valvo.
Yes.
I didn't wear that jumper on stage. I changed into what I call Uncle Going Fly Fishing. I had a black t-shirt.
I can see now your picture.
With like a green jacket. And I knew I'd hit the nail on the head because Mel Buttle, Raging Lesbian, said, I want the jacket. And so if a lesbian wants your jacket, you've dressed appropriately.
Have you had work done, Nath? Is that your youthful secret?
Whoa.
All right. So here we go. Here's the two things that will make anyone look younger. Mm-hmm. One, never go outside.
Okay, yep, noted.
Just full stop.
Sun exposure. Okay. Yeah,
I'm a big fan of indoor.
Uh-huh.
A lot of sunscreen.
Mm-hmm.
Use a lot of moisturizers on your face. Like wash your face, Tommy, at night. Wouldn't go astray. Yep. Wash it properly.
Okay.
And then pay money to get Botox. Combine all of those and you look shiny.
Bro, yeah, I mean, you do. You look wonderful. I don't think I can get away with Botox.
But Nath does. Look at him. You can still frown, Nath.
Depends what week you look at me and how close it was to the needle. let me tell you, when I first got the Bobo, you say nurse, but please, she's done some course online for 15 minutes and in she goes. But she said it takes 2 weeks to kick in. No one tells you that part. So you get it, and then you forget you've got it, and then 2 weeks later you realise, I'm not moving, like something's wrong.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Nathan, can I get away? I feel like it's different for a straight man getting Botox. Oh, sorry, will people even notice, or is it subtle enough that people just go,
Don't take it as a chance. I'm not saying it in a mean way. I'm saying... But I love it.
Sorry, Valvo. Captain Crowsfeet over here wants to have a go.
As I said, you can't say it to me. You can only say it to a man.
Listen. The real reason I get the Bobo, and this is true, is if you go stalk my Instagram, listeners, Nath Valvo, you will see my husband he's quite hot, and I've batted up. So when you go up...
I disagree, but yeah.
When you go up, you have to... keep up appearances. So I reckon if I was single and mingling and batting down, there'd be no Botox. But look at him.
No, you're batting exactly where you should be batting, Nath.
Because of the Botox carry. It's all connected.
So what a batting talk. Far more than I ever would have thought. We've gone into sports territory far more than a Nath Balbochek usually does.
But mate, the final thing I want to... Wait, yeah, I know it's your interview, but I want to ask a question.
Absolutely.
What age did you think I looked?
I mean, it's again, it's the dress sense, but I would have said early 30s.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
But then, once you mentioned 40, I stared. Because I was then trying to pick it. And that led to the discussion of should he have mentioned it, which I still think is a very funny discussion.
But you don't like have a whole comedy show based on it or anything though, do you?
I've got 35 minutes on being 40 in my new tour.
Sure, you could have rounded that up to 40.
I don't actually. I don't. No offense to the comics that do. I do find someone talking about like what age they are. You know, it's not that thrilling, is it?
No
offense.
Because we were going to open to the phones, Nath, now on 13 10 60. We're fascinated about whether you actually can. So we'll get your thoughts before we let you go. Can you, in this day and age, actually get away with lying about your age?
Yes,
this is very
with
true.
The internet, like not a celebrity. I just mean a normal person. Yeah. Can you suddenly go, I'm just not going to move forward a year and I'm going to keep not moving forward a year and no one will notice?
But of course you can. But if you meet someone out, if you go on a date and someone says I'm 36, how are you going to find out if they're not?
But I guess because then when you meet their friends, you go, hey, how good's this 37th birthday? And they go, we've had this for 8 years.
And their four kids and grandkids are there.
I'd love to know on 13 10 60, have you lied about your age and how do you get away with it? I may want to know for personal reasons. In the meantime, Nath, I can't wait to see your show at the Comedy Festival. You always do amazing stand-up shows and yours is called Anyway Back to Me and it starts tonight at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Make sure
all ages, all ages, 18 plus.
Even under 40.
And if you're over 40, bring your ragged, crinkly, disgusting face to my show.
Nath Balbo, thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Love you.
But right now, 13 10 60 is our number. We want to know about lying about your age. Can you do it? Have you done it? Give us a call.
Carrie and Tommy.
It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. And on 13 10 60, do you lie about your age?
Yes. And we didn't have to look far. We do have our phones have lit up, but we've got one in-house. Producer lies.
Hey, guys. My dad actually lied to my mum about his age when they first met. He said that he was actually 2 years older than her when he was actually 2 years younger than her. And my mum found out 5 days before the wedding.
How did you? Okay, so how long did that lie have to be kept up for?
I'm not quite clear on the story because Dad's quite sensitive about it. because I guess like with the marriage certificate, like all the details would be out.
Of course.
Front so there. He just had to. Did she think about like, if he's lying about that, what else is he going to lie about, or did she just commit?
No, she just committed. She's like, well, what am I going to do now? We're getting married in 5 days, and then that was it.
Lizzie, I feel like he would have had such days sweating leading up to it. Like he would have had this whole thought process where he's like, oh, no, this will be fine. But oh, my God, the form.
But
the
it's form. The form.
Maybe she's going to see the form. She'll notice the
but
form.
But it's the whole family bit that I don't understand. Like as you've asked this as a genuine question to people, how do you go about it? Because everybody knows your actual age. Like we were talking about off air and Pip, our producer, was saying you'd almost have to get rid of all your school friends, anyone that you knew from and all like move into state or move overseas because everyone would be catching up going, well, she's not. We're all having our mutual 40th this year or whatever it is.
And even going to a birthday party, you'd have to look down at the cake and quickly rearrange.
Maybe you'd never have a party again.
Oh my
you'd
God.
Have to cancel out birthday parties altogether.
Is that worth it? Oh, Elias, g'day.
Hey, g'day, Tommy. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. Are you lying about your age or have you?
Oh, I lie about my age all the time, mate. So whenever I meet new people and we're just discussing work and age and stuff like that, I always tell people that I'm 60 and they're like, man, you look amazing for your age. But I'm actually... I'm only 50.
So it's not often that people add numbers to their age.
10 years. Well, because so
you look good for 60. You know what I mean? But then when they find out that I'm actually 50, they're like, "Oh no, dude, you look like crap."
So do you just do it for the compliments?
I do it for the compliments because I actually act younger than my age a lot of times. Like you know, because I do hang out with my kids a lot and their friends and. and everybody's always like thinking that I'm younger, but because I got like a, you know, a gray beard, everybody always, you know, assumes I'm in my 40s, 50s, but when I tell them 60, they're just like, man, you look amazing.
What a great idea. If I rocked around and started telling everyone I was like late 50s, 60, that's a way to go.
Oh, you're really betting then, though, because if they go, oh, yeah, that's ruined your night.
Actually, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're 50.
That's about right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's been nice to meet you, Carrie. See you. G'day, Melissa.
Hello.
Could you lie about your age?
100% all the time.
Great. How do you get away with it?
But so first of all, why?
Why? Because I'm a teacher, so no one wants that old bitty batty teacher who's old and grumpy. So I often tell people that I'm only in my 20s, but I'm in my late 40s.
Oh my God!
What age are you teaching? Like, if I even said that to my kids who are in primary school, they'd go, "Well, you're not."
Well, kids, anyone over 25 is classified as old.
Old,
and ancient,
right?
Right.
Yes.
So I was asked, you know, how old I was, and I said to this kid, "I'm 25," and I was quite chuffed with myself. I'm like, "Yep, he's believed me." And then he knew that I had a son who was 10, and he's done the math. And he goes, "So, Miss, you had your son at 15.
Oh, tricky.
I mean, the good sign of that is, Melissa, at least you're teaching him well because they did the math correctly. If that was me at school, I'd be like, "Wait, that means you had your son when you were four.
Yeah.
Carry on, Miss."
I've never been caught out like that. And I kind of went, bugger. And then I was like, "Yeah, so I did." And he goes,
"What?
So you had your kid at 15. And then I just walked off.
Got him. Yes. How old was the kid, Melissa?
He would have been about 10 or 9, so that's how he could do the maths.
Always good to get a win over a 9-year-old.
Yeah.
Good on you, Mel.
What about you, Yolanda? Do you lie about your age?
I don't. I used to, when I was younger, I used to still bump my age up, and I think I still do that now.
You bump it up.
I tell people bump. So I tell people that I'm 40, but I actually look like I'm 25 to 28.
But how old are you?
I'm like 37, 38.
Yeah, 50, Yolanda.
Also, who says two numbers and how old they are? How old are you? I'm 37, 38?
Well, because this is my birth year, so I'm like turning, you know. Turning 38. But I say I'm 40 because no one believes me that I'm old. And then
this is the worst humble brag I've ever heard in my life.
Carrie and Tommy.
That is where you're at for your Thursday afternoon, and the Melbourne International Comedy Festival is back, guys.
Yes, it is kicking off tonight. My show, Tommy Little Has a Regular-Sized Deck, is opening at the Comedy Theatre, and I would love to see you there. There are cheap tickets for Easter weekend.
Go see it. It's so, so, so funny.
Thank you, Carrie.
Much like our comedy roast
was.
What a night it was. People still talking about it. It's been the highlight, I reckon, so far of our show this year. It was such a hit. We've got the rest of it to play out to you today. So yesterday you saw the first half of it, including my roast of you. Today we're going to get the second half that's got cricketing great Adam Gilchrist in it. We've got Luke McGregor, your former housemate. Tom Ballard, who's just brutal. And then, of course, we get to hear your right of reply.
Yes.
Ouch.
No.
You were pretty kind to me, but you were pretty mean to everybody else. You'll hear that later on. But up next, Lizzie Who.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy for your Thursday afternoon, and the Melbourne International Comedy Festival is on now until April 21. You can book now at comedyfestival.com.au. But we roasted Tommy Little the other night.
Yes, I'm like a freshly done duck.
How are you feeling?
Peaking.
Peaking.
I'm peaking.
I would have thought well done.
Yeah.
No, I'm peaking. I'm not peaking. It's a long comedy festival. Save your peaking. Because the roast was awesome. The next roaster that we're about to play you was Lizzie Who. Now, I wasn't too nervous about Lizzie just because she's so nice.
Well, you should have been.
I know.
Because Lizzie provided us with one of my top three, I think, moments of the entire night. You're about to hear it now. Keep in mind, we can't play you all of each of these roasts because there's so much content that is not allowed to go to air. You had to be in the room to hear it. But there is a joke that Lizzie who does here about your personal life. God, it was funny.
This, was this a joke or was this when she laughed at my life?
Yeah, she just laughed at your life. Have a
uncontrollably.
There's no denying that Tommy is doing pretty well. He's on some pretty big money these days. He's making hair plugs in turkey money and just in time. He's not short on confidence, though, to get a pilot's license when every TV pilot he's been in has crashed. Tommy was recently diagnosed with ADHD. Yeah, all right. Always doing hack jokes. What's your hour called again? What's your children's book called? Tommy wrote a kid's book in lockdown when he had a girlfriend because he thought he was going to have a family with her.
I realised there wasn't even a joke.
No.
I thought I remember it being a joke on the night.
There was no joke.
No, she just pointed it out and then laughed.
Hey, we've got Emma who's called up. Hey, Em.
Hey.
Did you go to the roast the other night?
We did.
Did you enjoy it?
It was so good.
Was it what you expected, Em?
It's probably better than what I expected, actually.
Yeah. I think it exceeded all expectations across the board. Did you have a favourite?
I quite like, oh my God, I don't even know his name, Chandler.
Carl.
Everyone's...
Chandler. Carl Chandler, yeah.
I mean, I didn't know who he was either, but I was confused with who he was roasting, because was he there for Tom Ballard or Tommy Little?
Well, he was there for Tommy Little, but I think he was very smart, and halfway through the roast he thought, let's mix things up, and turned his attention on Tom Ballard with absolute perfect effect,
yes.
Really.
Well, except the effect was he made Tom Ballard more famous, but not his own name. Good on you. Thanks, Em. G'day, Tegan.
Hey, how you going?
Yeah, good. Did you go to the roast?
Yes, we sure did.
Did you have fun?
Yes.
Cool, Tegan.
was it more intense than you thought it was going to be?
I actually underestimated how good it was going to be. Like, it definitely, yeah, I wasn't expecting it. It was very funny.
People were losing their minds, Tegan, and I could only spot one person from stage who was hating it. She was just not expecting the level of intensity and was trying to hide away from the audio, the comedy, the comedians, the event, and trying to disappear up her own butthole. Did you have any people around you like that, Tegan?
No, we were uncontrollably laughing, that's for sure. I think we had the loudest laugh in the audience.
Yeah, I feel like my tummy was still sore the next day from laughing. It was that kind of laughter, Tegan. I'm so glad you enjoyed it. Other than Carl, was there a moment or a joke that you've thought of since that's made you lol?
I really enjoyed the joke about Tommy and his book and thinking that he was going to start a family, so he wrote it for his future child.
Thanks, Teagues. You know, my housemate lost his voice from laughing.
Oh, really?
And you know Tegan saying they had the loudest laugh there?
Yeah.
When ex-producer Sonda was in the audience,
yes.
That's a fair feat.
I know
it is. She
was
setting off car alarms.
So many people were telling me one of the highlights of their night was the unexpected surprise that or gift that was Adam Gilchrist doing his bit, and that's coming up next.
Carrie and Tommy.
The Thursday afternoon, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little for the drive home.
We just heard there the delightful Lizzie who...
She's the best.
...roasting you. I was going to say the most. It wasn't the most. It was just on par, I think, with all the rest of
Equally
them.
Cutting.
Equally cutting. One of the highlights of the night was when Carl Chandler, who's a brilliant podcaster and writer on many of the shows you would have watched on TV, comedic shows, he decided to take the roast in a different direction.
Yes.
You may have heard on the show yesterday where he decided to stop roasting you and to roast Tom Ballard.
Yes.
It was so funny. He just went on and on and on about
36
Tom.
Fat jokes, he said.
36 fat jokes. You will hear Ballard's right of reply later in the show. But yes. Now it is time. It's very hard to get up amongst comedians and try and do anything funny. I know that firsthand. I found it very, very overwhelming. But I felt for Adam Gilchrist. That was before he went up because I was like, oh, the poor guy in the middle of all these comedians. I didn't need to be worried at all.
No, it was wonderful getting to hear a childhood icon of mine just let loose.
Look, this is going to be short, sharp and self-indulgent, just like most of Tommy's effort in the bedroom. And I have to say, just when I thought my career had peaked. I'd reached the mountain at the top. I mean, I've captained the Australian Test cricket team. Just when I thought I'd reached the pinnacle and I'd get this opportunity to come along and talk about some nuffy on radio who I've met three times. I do need to move on to the man of the hour, and that's Tommy. Tommy Ballard. No. Nah, Tommy Little. Somehow, and this is when I get on to Tommy Little, I think, reflect on my credit. Somehow I forged a wonderful relationship with a certain demographic of Australia, the middle-aged men of this country. So a lot of these middle-aged men, they get quite emotional. They sort of feel like I've taken them on a journey, and the emotion and passion that I have with these guys, it feels like I've touched a lot of Australian men. That's where I'm different to Tommy Little. With no emotion and certainly no passion, he's literally touched a lot of Australian women. I have had a drink on a few occasions with Tommy, and after one such occasion during the summer, it was a great night, and I decided to send him an emotional text message about what it meant to catch up, and he didn't reply. And it was at that point I realised I've basically got the same relationship with Tommy as most of those Australian women. Apparently his relationship with girls is a bit like my former sport, Test cricket. It never goes for more than 5 days. If Tommy was a cricketer, I've realised, like me, he would be a wicketkeeper. I could imagine him in those big gloves, because if you live the lifestyle and life of Tommy Little, you don't want to leave any fingerprints anywhere. Right. Now, Tommy, it's fair to say when you have a night out with him, he doesn't handle his drink well. The night I had out with him this summer, it was not dissimilar to a game of cricket. It started with a lot of shots. Halfway through, he got out his googly, and by the end of it, he was rubbing sandpaper on his balls. But I've got to say, it seems the theme is at the end of it, you get a bit sentimental about what Tommy means to you, and all you guys have done that beautifully after ripping apart him and Tommy Ballard. But now, all jokes aside, Tommy's a great guy, a great comedian. So I've been told I'm much more of a Carl Barron man. Anyway, have a good night.
It's so good.
Oh, we'll put bits up on our socials too if you want to see him in action. Who we got up next?
Still to come, we hear, not known for his savagery, but my former housemate and one of Australia's great comedians, Luke McGregor. Boy, does he unleash.
Carrie and Tommy.
Be Thursday Arvo, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. Thanks to Alinta Energy. Alinta Energy is honest about how we get to net zero. Find out more at alintaenergy.com.au/truepower.
And Bickers, we are in the middle of recapping some of the greatest hits, and I say greatest with an asterisk, because the asterisk is greatest that we are allowed to play, which means we're playing the best of the second best, I reckon, because I reckon all of the best stuff from the night was unairable on any mainstream media platform.
Yes.
This man that we're about to bring to you is probably the most known for roasting in Australia. He's taken part in a lot of international roasts overseas, so he's a seasoned vet at this. It's also the man who was a target for a lot of the night, the one and only Tom Ballard.
All right, well, our next guest is one of our most all-round comedians. Sorry, no, I've read that wrong. No. Our next guest is one of our most round comedians, Tom Ballard!
Hello, everyone, it's me, the fat one! Thank you for that wonderful introduction, Budget Sonia Kruger. Thank you very much, we appreciate it. How about a little more Carrie Bickless, am I right, people? Yes, it's me, everyone, Tom Ballard. In case you missed it, I am gay. I don't know if we touch on that tonight. I'm basically the fatter version of Joel Creasy. Hello! I'm what would happen if Joel Creasy ate some food and read a book. I'm joking. I love Joel. He's a dear friend of mine. He's hilarious. And I love his radio work. Best drive show in the country, hands down. Ricky Lee, Tim and Joel, and Nova 100 driving you home 4 to 6 p.m. weekdays. They're a shitload better than Giggles and Wog Boy or whatever the this show's called. The Carrie and Tommy radio show. Finally a chance for Australia to hear what boring, hot white people have to say about Ed Sheeran. The Carrie and Tommy show is for people who can't keep up with Kyle and Jackie O. Yeah, I'm roasting you. How do you like it? These are all jokes. I love you guys. Carrie, remember that time in the project when instead of saying Qantas, you said that was... I've always known you're the funny one. That's how unfunny Tommy Little is. His Hamish is Carrie Bickmore. Tommy Little's such a horny boy, he was asked to leave Epstein's Island because he was making everyone else feel uncomfortable. Hey, here's something I didn't know. According to his website, Tommy Little is a comedian. He's performed many brilliant shows at the Comedy Festival over the years, none of which I've been able to see because I've been too busy winning awards. The funny thing about Tommy is that he's got muscles and cool tattoos. He has sex with lots of women. Funny stuff. I'll listen to an hour of that. Yes, please. It's weird. You think with all those muscles, Tommy would be good at punchlines. Tommy's very good looking. The only thing that turns me off about him is his comedy, his laugh, and everything he says and does.
Oh, I forgot just how funny he was.
You were drunk.
So,
you were drunk.
I wasn't drunk. At one point in the night, you said, "You're drinking." And I said, "No, I'm not."
No, I didn't say you're drinking. I said, "You're pissed."
But I wasn't.
Sure.
I hadn't been drinking.
Why the constant falling over?
I was not falling over.
You're losing your faculties.
Up next is a man, that's just age, is a man that has lived with you, so yes. He knows you better than anyone. Luke McGregor roasts you next.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Across the country for your drive home this afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. The Melbourne International Comedy Festival is on now until April 21. Book now at comedyfestival.com.au. But you have missed the roast of Tommy Little.
Yes, but you haven't missed my show. This doesn't sound too desperate, does it, Bickers? Come and see my show, please.
You need it after the roast you got. Ooh, you need some love back.
And this next man knows me very well. He's lived with me and... He's known for his savage brand of humour. One of the nicest men that you'll ever meet and probably the only time he'll ever participate in a roast. It's Luke McGregor.
Hi, everyone. My name is Luke McGregor and I am Tommy's former housemate. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thanks. There's more. I lived with Tommy for a year in 2018, 2 years before Tommy caused the COVID pandemic. Tommy Little. The little is in reference to his dick. Thanks for your time, everyone. It's hard to make fun of Tommy. When my ex and I broke up and I needed a place to stay, Tommy was the first person who took me in. He didn't ask me how long. He just said, "Sure, you can, mate." And for a whole year, I slept at the bottom of Tommy's bed. Because Tommy's amazing. He's handsome. He's funny. He's a pilot. Think about how most people look good in a flight suit. Now imagine Tommy Little in a flight suit. And it's not just for Halloween. He's actually flying a plane. My pants are ruined just thinking about it. But the truth is, Tommy is a kind, beautiful angel. And the only Tommy roast I'll participate in is the Sunday roast that Tommy occasionally cooks because Tommy taught himself how to cook. Not many people know this, but Tommy can also paint. A lot of the art at Tommy's house is work that Tommy did. I'm so sorry. I've misunderstood the meaning of tonight. It's probably too late to pivot. I guess this is supposed to be a roast, though. So in that spirit, I'd like to roast Tommy's housemate, his other housemate, Johnny. More specifically, I'd like to roast Johnny's dog, Frankie. Johnny is a 50-year-old man who does property development or some shit. And he had a dog called Frankie who Tommy, in his infinite kindness, would let roam free around the house. Frankie used to love going in my room, and one day I came home to a wet bed where Frankie clearly wet himself. I told Johnny, "Frankie's wet himself," and Johnny told me, "That's not piss, Luke. That's liquid from his leaky anal glands." It's anal juice. And that was the last we talked about it. Johnny didn't change his sheets. I changed his sheet, but the bed was never clean, and neither was I. But it only further highlights how patient a man Tommy is. Tommy doesn't ask for rent money and allows a guy like Johnny and his leaky bum dog to live at his house. I feel like there's a leaky bum joke I do with you. I can't think of it right now. Thanks, buddy. Oh, but that's just the kind of person Tommy is. He's a beautiful angel, or as I like to call him, comedy's Jesus Christ. Thanks for having me.
Oh, savage. Savage.
The savage
stuff.
Bit in all of that is Johnny's dog's dead.
Yes, that's what, yes, I know. Yeah. I don't know if you could hear me, but when he mentioned, because Johnny was there on the night, and when he mentioned Johnny's dog, I went, no! Well, because up next, I retort to not only that savagery then, it was lucky I could stand after that, but
well,
that,
after all the drinks you'd had.
You know, that's true, actually. The night did run longer than my drinking schedule anticipated. But I retort to not only that, but to all of you scumbags.
Carrie and Tommy.
The Thursday afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little, and it's finally time, guys.
Yes. The moment, when I say I was waiting for, I literally meant a long time.
Yeah,
I reckon
the event
all their
went
comedians.
For 2 hours.
Yes,
yeah.
And I anticipated in my drinking schedule an hour show.
But it was worth the wait when you finally took to the stage to retort all of the shit that had been thrown at you for 2 hours, and a lot was thrown at you. You've only heard some of it. Go to our Instagram if you want to see some of it in action as well. Mm. But it's now time for one Mr. Tommy Little to take to the stage.
It's very lovely to be here. Luke McGregor. I mean, obviously very harsh words at the end, but I was lucky to get through that alive. Luke is one of my best friends, and we did live together. We did live together, and at the time, and this may shock you to hear, but at the time, Luke was not, like, he was doing well, but he was not a smash hit with the ladies. But then now, cut 2 years later, and Luke is married, and I'm still single. That is like visiting a make-a-wish kid who has days left to live, and then you find out they outlive you by 30 years. Carl Chandler? Carl's eyes, for those who can't see, are real wide set. Like, they're real, real wide set. They're so wide set, he's the only bloke that can go and watch the tennis and just stare straight ahead and get the whole game. Nick Cody, one of the greats, Nick Cody's here. For those he hasn't told already 10 times, works on the project. He started working on the project when it was at its all-time ratings low. And that, combined with his two kids, makes me think he really doesn't know when to pull out. Sonia DiOrio is here. Great job, Sonia. Fantastic. Very nice to have you. Because Sonia is a lesbian now. Sorry, I don't know that for a fact. I'm just guessing by the way she's dressed. Like, I assume. Dilruk is here. For those who don't know, Dilruk is not a comedian. He's just a big fan of Gilly from the subcontinent. So it's great to have him. Very great to have him. Very great to have him. Dil, as you can see, looks like an Uber Eats driver and his best customer. Dil, much like Luke, got his first girlfriend at age 36. Of course, after their breakup, Dil did start to stack the weight back on. That's fine. It's your revenge body. I just think Dil got confused and didn't realise the revenge is meant to be on your ex and not the next person you... I don't know if you realise, but Tom Ballard is here. He's here. He's here. Tom Ballard did a comedy show about refugees. Yeah. Sad, desolate people searching for a happier place. That is how the audiences who attended those shows were described. Lizzie Hu is here. Lizzie Hu. Lizzie just hosted the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Go, it is the biggest gig in Australian comedy. And you did a fantastic job. You did an amazing job, Lizzie. It was fantastic. Lizzie said to us on our radio show, because often comedians will prepare for like 6 months for that gig. It's their biggest gig of their life. Lizzie admitted to me she'd only thought about it a week before, proving once and for all that she has all the appearance of an Asian, but none of the work ethic. One of my childhood heroes, Adam Gilchrist, is here. Gilly. Gilly, it is an absolute honour and a pleasure to have you here. For those who don't know, Gilly is known for smashing fours. That is not about cricket. Just anyone who's seen his ex-girlfriends will know that. I will finish with my co-host, the wonderful and amazing Carrie Bickmore. Please give me a round. I have almost nothing to roast Carrie about. I could say Carrie loves a fake tan. She loves a fake tan. She worked for years alongside Waleed, and still to this day, she's referred to as the brown one from the project.
You were very kind. You could have gone a lot harder.
We just haven't played that bit.
No, that is true. We're not going to now, though, are we?
No. I don't reckon. You told me not to.
It was such a fun night. Thank you to everyone that was involved, our entire team that put it together, Joshy. It was just amazing.
Yes, it was.
And we're thinking we might make it like a yearly event. So if you missed out this year, make sure next time we talk about it, don't dilly-dally. You've got to get on board and come because it was such a fun night.
No dallying
or dillying.
Carrie and Tommy.
So you know how earlier in the show we were talking about lying about your age?
Yes.
Because we had Nath Valvo, awesome comedian on, who we just discovered was 40.
Yes.
And we were like, don't tell people, dude, you look so much younger. And we took calls on lying about the age. I've done a bit of digging around and
tell
I can give you some celebrities who've lied about their age over the years.
Wow.
So Lawrence Fishburne. Of the Matrix fame.
Yes.
One of his biggest early roles was booked when he was the age of 14 for a Vietnam War drama called Apocalypse Now.
Yes.
And he successfully convinced the filmmakers that he was 16 to get cast as a 17-year-old kid in it. But the film took so long to shoot that by the time they wrapped, he was actually the character's age. So then he just said, oh, now I'm okay, I'm actually that age. So for the year or two that they filmed, he was 2 years younger than he actually was. Mila Kunis did it for her audition?
Just on him, I can't imagine him looking young.
I know.
I can't picture it, but he looks like he's eternally old.
Yes. That's a bit like Clint Eastwood.
Yes.
Oh, no. Actually, no, because Clint Eastwood was a hot younger man, wasn't he?
I thought you were into, do you find him a hot older man as well?
Oh, he's an attractive older man.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Clint Eastwood is hot. He's Carrie's bottom line.
No, not hot. Just handsome.
Hot.
He's handsome. Handsome or hot.
A strapping gentleman.
Mila Kunis, you know her from the That 70s Show.
She's handsome.
During her audition, she told the team that she was 18. No, she said she would be 18. She just didn't specify when. And she was only 14 at the time. It's pretty funny. Apparently they cottoned onto her lie, though, while they were signing the contracts. And then they had to get a teacher on board to be there while she was filming because she was underage.
Right.
Anyway, Eminem, during an interview on Howard Stern's radio show in 1999, he was just chatting, said he was 24. He was actually 27 at the time.
Really?
Just made it up. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Nicki Minaj did it when she was younger. She used to say she was 26. No, 28 instead of 26. She went up in age
as well.
Yeah, and Nelly, who we're going to get on here from Hot and Here fame.
Oh, I thought you meant on like we've got him on the phones. I was like, why hasn't someone told me that we've got Nelly coming up?
He was named as one of the hottest stars under 25. He was 28 at the time.
Was he?
And he didn't say, hey, guys, nothing to see here. Instead, he just was like, oh, well, yeah, I'll take that.
You know what I've taken from that? If you want to look younger, Band-Aid on the face. That's what Nelly was famous for.
No, I just was imagining a Band-Aid on your face and I was like, I don't reckon that's your option.
I need a bigger one.
Bowie or Band-Aid? Let's go the Bowie, I reckon.
Bowie. Oh, Botox. I thought you meant a bow tie.
Carrie and Tommy.
His latest show, Totally Normal, will be at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival and around the country. If you want tickets, head to livenation.com.au. I'm, of course, talking about the wonderful Nazeem Hussain. G'day, Naz.
Hey, what's going on?
You.
How are you, more to the point, back on the stage after a 2-year hiatus, I've read?
I took a year off, just to gather material, gather experiences that are worthy enough to tell on stage in exchange for money.
That is not true. You were too lazy to write a show last year.
have you done a show every year for the last 10 years or something?
Yeah, but I'm
desperately holding on. He doesn't have a life either, Naz. Like, you've got, like, a purpose, you know.
I've got a couple of kids.
That'll hold you back.
So, yeah, I've got...
You'll never end up in the big rooms if you keep doing that, Naz.
No, you know what? This is great career advice. I should abandon them.
Hey, Naz.
Actually, my daughter has been sort of like negging me. She went up to the bookshelf 2 days ago and pulled out Kevin Hart's book and pointed at his face and goes, Dada, And I'm like, no, that's, she's like, confused me, like people confuse me and Willie. But I think she's actually like saying to me, why aren't you more successful like Kevin?
But also, continue that line. You could get some cash out of that somehow, I'm sure.
I'm sure I could. Yeah. She could just open for me. Yeah.
Hey.
My daughter's tax deductible is what you're saying.
No, I'm just saying that if you went to Kevin Hart and said this is your illegitimate daughter and tried to steal some money from him, I reckon it's a good game plan.
I thought that was going to be nowhere near that sinister.
Well, you know, I'll take a video of it and DM him, see if he replies.
Hey, Naz, can I ask you a question about your son's name? Is it public knowledge?
Yeah, his name's Isa.
Yes, which is the Arabic word for Jesus. I did not know that.
Yeah, mate, Jesus is a prophet of Islam. I'm a parent with high expectations. We named him so that, you know, I could go out, save humanity, kid, all right? And
well, he's got to take after one father, and it probably shouldn't be you.
Basically, he's named after a white man from the Middle East, all right?
Hey, why? Because often you hear of Jesus and you hear of Jesus in other languages, like people naming their kids. But why does that happen, but there are no kids just called Jesus?
They probably are.
You know what? I think, well, yeah, like you said, Jesus, but in like, I don't know, ask your people. This is not a question for me. But there's,
Gary.
It was on the top list for Ollie, but we went with Ollie.
There's no Moses or Jesus. There's all of his mates, though. Mark, Peter, Paul, David, like, aren't they all?
Yes. Oh, yes, that's
And the closest
true.
Thing I can think to Moses is Mo's Tavern, like Mo from Mo Sizzler from The Simpsons.
Yeah. Right, exactly. And Mo's also short for Muhammad, so.
What about producers, if they're there somewhere, Google the name Jesus and Moses? I reckon you'd find there's stacks of people, kids called Jesus and stacks of kids called Moses.
How? I'd
run for office if I was named Jesus. Vote on Jesus. You'd get the Christian vote.
Hey, we were talking a couple of weeks ago about Ramadan because Tommy became obsessed with it wasn't it a sporting player break fast or something?
Kyrie Irving. And then I got told, Naz, about Sonny Bill Williams when he was playing. And often, you know, when the sun would go down as the match was on, I got told he would run off the field and they'd give him snacks. And I just found it adorable.
Does it affect comedy at all?
Bashar Hooley, Adam Sandler. Yeah, I mean, literally, my show's from 6 to 7 and the sun sets at 7:20 at the moment. But then daylight savings stops or whatever in about a week and a half. So then sun sets at like an hour, so 6:15, which is in the middle of my show. So I'm going to have a date on stage. You break fast traditionally with a date and some water, and there'll be like half the crowd will be Muslim. So last year, same thing happened. On the way in, we just had people handing out dates for anyone that wanted to break their fast that was Muslim, or anybody that wanted to be Muslim. If you're on the Islam spectrum.
I love a date. I would absolutely love a date mid-show.
It's great in a smoothie.
I find it interesting because I would have thought you wouldn't. I don't know how much you guys pick the timing of your shows and stuff, but do you want people coming to a show that are depleted of all nutrition and starving and thirsty? Yeah. Don't you want them up and about and ready to laugh? Yeah.
You sound like half of my DMs, just angry Muslims. Like, why did you choose the time when we're fasting and breaking fast? You idiot. But anyway, like half of the comedy festival is on the other side of Ramadan. So that's probably when they'll all come. But I've made an error here. Like ages ago, my manager was like, you're happy with 6 o'clock? I'm like, yeah, pretty good. Show and then everyone can have dinner. But actually, I completely forgot about my own people. Sorry, Muslims.
Naz, my barber is Muslim. And I said, do you feel amazing to him at the end of Ramadan? And he said he feels like he's accomplished something. But he said the main thing people don't realize is that he actually puts on weight because when he breaks his fast, he eats all like fried food and stuff. Do you feel better or worse at the end of
Ramadan? Look, I don't know if you've done intermittent fasting. You know, people, it's become a bit of a fad, and you feel good because it kind of, your body sort of wants it periodically. But, you're supposed to, the ethos of Ramadan, you eat a little bit, you know, you improve your character, think of the poor, and then you break fast with the normal amount of food. But what happens is every night someone will invite you over to their house for like a breakfast party and you just stuff your face. You know, we're in the West. We've got so much food and we want to flex that. Yeah, basically, everybody puts on weight. It's not a time to lose weight if you're in an affluent country, but you're supposed to eat a small amount. So
are you going to party?
Because there's a lot of burping.
Are you going to parties every night?
Well, basically. It's just like if you're hungry and you want some food, just hit up your Muslim mate. and just ask them what they're doing tonight, and they'll invite
you
over.
Because you said
over.
You want to start doing it.
It's all sounding pretty good, Naz.
Huh?
It's all sounding pretty good.
Hey, listen, have you read the brochure that I've given you? All right,
I haven't.
Ramadan.
Sorry.
All right.
Yes.
The four wives. That's you've got to start with one. To be honest, the beard. I mean, the beard. That's a look. Everyone's doing the beard.
Yes. Yes.
Give the beard a go.
Okay. Just before we wrap things up, though, I just wanted to say one thing that our producers have found. There are 6 people named Moses for every 100,000 Americans.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Not many, is it?
No,
what
but
about
it's more
Jesus?
Than I
Did
thought.
We get Jesus? Yeah. How many was Jesus?
It says that Jesus is ranked as the 256th most popular name in the United States.
So just if we're an MCG, yeah.
82 per 100,000 people in America are named Jesus.
No way.
The grand final, there are 82 Jesuses walking
around. That is just not true.
No, in America.
True. Yeah, but that's just not true. There'd be at least one famous Jesus then in America. We've never, I mean,
that's
there's one. There's one. There'd be one more.
Yeah, walking around.
Oh, here we go. The estimated population of people named Jesus is 195,000.
That's not 82 in 100,000.
Good on your producers.
Just Naz stretching my fasting brain.
Naz,
basically, my son's listening. You are one in a billion, right?
Yes, yes. Totally Normal is on. It is the name of your show. It is at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival and then around the country. Head to livenation.com.au for tickets. Nazeem Hussain, all the best. Thank you, brother.
Thanks,
Kerry.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little on socials at Carrie Tommy Show.
Bye.
Bye.
Another podcast with Carrie and Tommy is all wrapped up thanks to Alinta Energy. Alinta Energy is honest about how we get to net zero. Find out at alintaenergy.com.au. True power.